This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Oh, no. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Well, nothing has changed since the last time we talked about the overwhelming level of construction activity in the Young Eglinton area. Last night, more than 250 people turned out to a community meeting where residents called the congestion and traffic they face daily as something that is inhuman. They're pleading for a traffic light at Young and Erskine. That's the intersection where 2 months ago, Evangeline LaRosa was killed by a cement truck driver. The residents also want more enforcement. They don't see enough tickets on illegally parked vehicles. And they also want heavy trucks to have specific safety mechanisms like side guards to prevent people from being sucked under the rear wheels, as well as cameras and sensor systems that eliminate blind spots or mitigate them anyway. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And we are going to begin with some resident activists. We've got Andy Gort, who is president of SERA, the South Eglinton Ratepayers and Residents Association, and John Tarano, who is a Safer Streets advocate and neighborhood resident. John and Andy, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So there were a lot of things that were talked about after that terrible, terrible situation with Evangeline being killed. We even have a pilot project that is apparently underway, but it doesn't look like there's been any progress in, 2 months?
Yeah, that's right. It's a frustrating slow pace of change that we've seen in anything that involves pedestrian fatalities, traffic safety. We're far behind the game already in Toronto when it comes to building safer streets. And whenever something does happen, the reaction seems like it's in slow motion. There have been some positive things that have come out recently. The three councillors obviously organized a very well-attended town hall. They have passed motions at council requesting studies, and they have spoken out extensively in the media about the importance of doing something and taking action to improve safety on our streets. But unfortunately, what we're seeing is, again, that the pace of change of actually implementing things is frustratingly slow. We're great at doing studies. We're not as great at actually building things.
Yeah, we've seen at least crossing guards now at many locations where there haven't been lights there, but the pace of construction is just relentless. We've had since 2016, we're looking at more than 21,000 new housing units being constructed, and not that many have been completed yet, maybe 25%. So we are already very busy, and we're just very nervous how much busier it is going to get and how long this construction is going to last. That would equate to about 35,000 new residents within 1.25 kilometer radius of Young and Eglinton. And the recent regulations that the province has come out with, planning regulations called OPA 405 and Bill 108, have raised heights and permitted developers even yet more development height, more sites and heights. And we're afraid that we're going to get yet another wave of construction coming after this, and that it will last well into the 2020s. So that we're looking at a very long period of time of construction, and then just very high density once all the construction is gone, with transportation infrastructure that we're afraid is not up to par to handle the population that will be here.
John, what kind of timeline are you looking at? What do you think is reasonable?
I mean, the timelines for improving safety, unfortunately, again, are far, far too long. We need to really accelerate building safer streets. Things like increasing police enforcement is something that can be done very rapidly. We just need to, you know, reallocate resources that we already have to ensure that the enforcement's in place. But I think in order for this to be successful, we need to have all the different parties involved working together. As I mentioned, the three councillors have done a lot and have spoken out very, very loudly on this issue. We need to have the mayor, Mayor Tory, coming in and really pushing for change. And he has done some good things, including the construction management plan. We need to have city staff acting quickly to enact the changes that we need. We need the provincial and the federal governments, because they actually have certain jurisdiction and certain responsibilities. They need to get their house in order and to enable things such as automated speed enforcement cameras in school zones. Everybody needs to work together to make us. And by the way, this is not just a Yonge and Eglinton and a Midtown problem. This is a problem that we're facing citywide. People are getting killed. Seniors are being killed in incredibly high numbers. They're the most vulnerable. Children are getting killed on their way to school. Young families are being killed. And people just going about their daily lives are increasingly getting mowed down on the streets. What we're seeing in Yonge and Eglinton is we're basically throwing gasoline on the fire by all of this additional construction, which just makes the existing unsafe situations even worse. And we need to find some way to get a handle on the over-densification and the overdevelopment that's happening at Yonge and Eglinton. But at the same time, we also need to make our streets safer, to increase enforcement, and as we mentioned, to also ban some of the least safe vehicles from our streets, vehicles that don't belong on our streets, and ensure we have safer vehicles on the roads.
Okay, I'd like to bring in Councillor Mike Cole. Hi there, how are you doing?
I'm good, Libby.
So, you know, we've been talking about this for a while, and it seems like nothing maybe a few very small things have been put in place. Why is it taking so long?
Well, actually, Libby, just the opposite. We record-breaking speed. We put in this construction management hub team right at Yonge and Eglinton that goes in place December 1st. The mayor pushed it through, councillors, Matlow, myself, Robinson. We've got this up and going where we're going to have a coordinated effort between the police. We got all the contractors in the same room. We've got the cement truck delivery people. They're all in there on the ground now.
So has this happened yet, or you're saying in December, which I guess is next week?
No, yeah, it's next week. Basically, it's the team's been in place. Stuart McGee is now the head coordinator, coordinating all this. This has never been done before in the city, and it's now basically in place, and they're meeting and organizing with the official, you might say, kickoff, but it's already in place right now.
Okay, and let's go to Andy. And Andy, are you optimistic about that?
I'm not optimistic about the development, disappearing here, but I am optimistic, at least at the local level, at the councillors, having put all three of them the shoulders behind this. We certainly will love to remind our councillors, you know, of lots of suggestions that came out of the meeting, even as simple as things like sidewalks being in good repair. Could we, you know, we don't get snow shoveling or sidewalks. Could we at least get sidewalks shoveled this winter, you know, in the apartment neighborhoods? We're implementing, something called LPI, lead pedestrian intervals, where the pedestrians get a green light before it goes green for cars. We've got traffic guards. As John mentioned, I think we should get some action on enforcement and getting cameras installed for traffic violations. We would like to see some of the intersections realigned, which are quite dangerous. But, you know, maybe that could get done within a year. We'd like to see a vision zero audit being done. So those are some of the specific ideas. Another idea was to get a four-way scramble at Yonge and Eglinton once that intersection returns to normal. So there are some very specific things that hopefully will improve safety, but the background remains a lot of construction, and I think we need to get Steve Clark, the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing here. He calls us NIMBYs, and I don't know why, to see how much construction is here, and that we need some pacing of construction, and so that maybe we should get some reduced heights and limited, you know, put a cap on development in our area.
One question before we have to take another break. Mike Cole, we saw the Police Services Board reinstate an enforcement unit. Do you think that will have an impact on Yonge and Eglinton? I'm assuming that they will send some of those people up there.
It's not enough. We need some serious investment in enforcement in that area. It's been basically neglected. We saw this, the data, the enforcement has gone down dramatically. So we need a much bigger investment in police enforcement in the area because this is ground zero. For construction in all of North America, Yonge and Eglinton is ground zero. And people can't understand that. And then on top of it, we are going to get an explosion thanks to Andy's mention of the Minister of Housing there. He's going to explode it even more with Bill 108. So we haven't seen anything yet. So we've got a real crisis. So we need enforcement, and we need to stop the enforcement of Bill 108, which is going to give us just incredible, add more fire to the situation there. We just got to stop that from going ahead.
Okay, we're going to discuss that bill after the break. Right now, I'd like to thank Andy Gort and John Taranum. Thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for taking the time.
Okay, we are talking about the huge amount of construction in the Yonge Eglinton area. Of course, that is where a woman was killed by a cement truck just 2 days ago. The residents have had it. With it, there was a big community meeting last week. Excuse me. Some changes are being brought in. The mayor has put together a construction group to coordinate things that will start next week. Now I'd like to bring in Councillor Josh Matlow. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Libby.
What do you think of the pace of things happening there?
Well, it depends what you mean. If it's the pace of the development, I'm concerned. I'm also concerned about how our quality of life priorities, such as social services and parks and some of the basic infrastructure needs, are not keeping pace with that growth. And this is why I hosted the meeting last night with Mike Cole and Councillor Jay Robinson. To bring our community together, to give them an update on the provincial planning changes that are exacerbating the challenges that we have, because the Doug Ford government, changed policy and changed the legislation to really meet the developers' financial interests who support their government, and really ignored the plans that we've been working on for many years to put the focus on Midtown's social services and parks and infrastructure priorities. So, when you talk about the pace, the pace of growth is outpacing people's basic quality of life. And I'll give you just one example. If you look at many of the new development proposals in the area, you will see a sign that the Toronto District School Board puts up that tells people that if you move here to Yonge and Eglinton, your kid may not be able to go to the local public school because they're overcrowded. They already had to take the sixth grade classes out of each of the elementary schools in the area, move them into the middle school because there was no space. Now they're having to figure out how to enlarge that middle school because there's so much demand. And, and there are also significant concerns around water capacity and some very basic things. So what we've been saying is, it's not about do you like development or do you hate development? It's about, however many people live in any neighborhood, their quality of life should keep pace with the growth. And that's why I feel the same way as Mike and so many members of our community. Like Andy said earlier, that we want to pause on the development pressure to make sure that these basic quality of life priorities can finally, never mind keep pace, but even catch up with the growth that the province has allowed for so many years.
Okay, let's just take a quick call from Lynn in Sunny Creek. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Okay. Hi, the trucks. You know those things when you have those staircases and it stops when something's in the way?
Uh-huh.
Like a beep? Why can't trucks have them?
Well, they have them. They have those, but...
But this thing stops.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't trucks be equipped with something like this?
There are technological things that trucks can, and a lot of people say they should have, but they're not required by law now.
Yeah, and the other thing is, Libby, is I've asked, and the city's asking for these construction truck drivers, you know, we're talking about earth movers and cement trucks, dump trucks going up our narrow streets. They should be trained on how to drive in a city. Right now, they have no special training, and they cannot handle the congestion, the pedestrians, the kids, as they drive cement trucks around the clock to these construction sites. We need them to have this safety training.
Mike is 100% correct, and I'll add another piece of technology that would really help us. It's called a flagman. These concrete trucks and these dumpsters, as Mike said, you know, they're so large, they're not made for our narrow local streets where many of these condos are being built. They very commonly will drive over the corners and the curbs because they, like,
yeah,
they literally...
Yeah, that's how Evangeline was killed.
Well, and you know, when you think about how she was killed and how horribly she was killed, it just demonstrates that, you know, I mean, I don't want to presuppose what could have happened to avoid it, but... Would it not be just reasonable to expect that when they have these massive trucks where there's low visibility from the cabin of the car, that there should be a flagman hired by the developer and the contractor to make sure that pedestrians are not going to be in the way of these trucks going around these corners? Because it happens all the time. And it's unacceptable.
And
they're very basic things that they could do to contribute to safety.
You know, there's I'm passing some construction, and it's on a relatively, it's not a small street, but it's, you know, not a boulevard or anything. And mm-hmm. they put a traffic light in the middle, kind of on the road. And that seems to even work well, so that, you know, there's the traffic light seems to work. It's like a portable traffic light.
And that's why, you know, we have worked with the mayor and Barbara Gray, the general manager of transportation services, Mike Cole, Jay Robinson, and I, you know, and we have hired for the first time ever in Toronto, a coordinator that will actually get to work on both, you know, assigning sort of, you know, where these specific things should be changed and moved around, but also finally getting these contractors and these developers to talk with each other so you don't have all these trucks coming at all at the same time, that there's actually some thoughtfulness and some, you know, cumulative understanding of how this is affecting those of us. And I'm, you know, I'm one of them who lives in Yonge and Eglinton, who, you know, you want to believe that you're living in your neighborhood, but it often feels like you're living in these developers' construction work zones.
Well, yeah, you are.
And, you know,
go ahead, Mike. Yeah.
The scary thing is this: is okay. It's hell on wheels right there now at Yonge and Eglinton. We are about to have this unleashing of double the condos and double the construction in the Yonge Eglinton area over the next year or so because of the changes whereby the province has basically made it a free-for-all for development based on their new rules, which override the city's rules and bring back the OMB, which can override local planning. So never mind what we're dealing with. What I'm really frightened about is what the heck's going to come down the pike when the gates are open with these new easy rules for developers. I mean, as if it's not easy enough already.
Go ahead, Josh. We have very little time.
I can't agree more with Mike. We're on the same page. The what I'm concerned about, along with everything that Mike just said, is that part of the legislation that the Ford government enacted will actually make it so that taxpayers will have to subsidize the cost of servicing the development even more. So developers are going to be off the hook for paying as much as they used to for things like the social services and the infrastructure, and we as taxpayers are going to have to pay more. So, you know, Doug Ford and his government need to...
Okay,
you know,
they
talk about for the people, but...
Sorry
like
to interrupt, but we're out of time. We will, I'm sure, have to revisit this. I'm glad that that construction coordination thing is happening next week, and I hope that nothing bad happens before we get to the subject again. Thank you so much to Cole.
Yeah, thank you, Libby, and you should get Stuart McGee on. He's going to be the go-to guy, and we should get him on the station.
Okay, will do. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for Fight Back for today. Jane Brown will be in the chair tomorrow while I shoot some TV down the hall. And I think there's still some spots in the audience for anyone who's interested in that.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.